Leaving while pregnant, he goes crazy. Chapter 151. Don't touch me. Adrian squinted dangerously. Since when is it your place to decide whether she wants to follow me or not? He said. Yeah, Michael chuckled, not getting angry either, but turned his gaze to Eva. Then let Eve personally tell you how she feels. Eve was Eva's nickname. Adrian stared at her with sharp eyes. Could it be that Michael was the one she ultimately chose? That's why she allowed him to call her by that name. Eva felt a pang in her chest. She knew Michael was helping her, allowing her to personally reject Adrian and smoothly divorce him. She looked at Adrian in front of her and pursed her lips. She really should seize this opportunity. With that in mind, Eva's lips moved slightly, wanting to speak. But at that moment, Adrian gritted his teeth and glared at her. Eva, you better think carefully about what you want to say. Interrupted by him like this, Eva fell silent. Michael raised an eyebrow and casually said, Adrian, should I remind you that you're only in a fake marriage? The way you're acting now, you're threatening and intimidating her. After speaking, Michael smiled lightly and looked at Eva. Eva understood that he was urging her to make a decision quickly by calling her name. Otherwise, if she missed this chance, she didn't know how long she would have to wait for the next one. But no matter how Eva looked at Adrian in front of her, she couldn't bring herself to speak. The words were right on the tip of her tongue, but she couldn't say a single word. In the end, Adrian grabbed her hand, his voice cold. Come home with me. I won't hold today's events against you. Eva took two steps as he pulled her along, but suddenly, her other wrist tightened. Michael had come forward and grabbed her wrist. At this moment, Michael looked less gentle compared to when he wasn't wearing glasses. It was also at this moment that Eva finally saw the sharpness hidden in Michael's eyes. Seeing him holding Eva's hand, Adrian narrowed his eyes and sternly demanded, "Let her go." Perhaps Adrian had been agitated by Eva constantly urging him to divorce, and also witnessing Michael embracing her without her pushing him away, even allowing him to call her by her nickname, Eva. Therefore, at this moment, Adrian was probably driven to the extreme by the situation, no longer as calm and composed as before. Seeing that Michael wasn't letting go, Adrian furrowed his brow and walked over, trying to brush Michael's hand away. But as soon as his hand was raised, a slender figure stood in front of him. Adrian's hand, raised halfway, froze. His eyes shimmered with sharpness and coldness, red and filled with the kind of rage that comes from being infuriated. Are you protecting him? Facing his menacing gaze, Eva took a deep breath, then turned elsewhere and spoke, "This is between us. There's no need for you to resort to violence against him, right?" Adrian stared at her intently for a while. So you felt sorry for him when I attacked him, which is why you're protecting him like this. Eva. After a moment, Eva said, let's discuss this when we get back, okay? He had been avoiding her these past few days, and they needed to have a conversation. But now, things like a peaceful breakup were no longer possible. Adrian chuckled. He lowered his hand and then mockingly smirked, sure, I'd love to have a talk with you. Seeing his agreement, Eva finally breathed a sigh of relief. She could tell Adrian's emotions were unstable at the moment, and if they continued this way, he might end up fighting with Michael. But it was unnecessary for Michael to keep getting hurt because of her decision to divorce him. He had already suffered enough from those two punches earlier. At that moment, Adrian's gaze shifted from Michael's face and landed on his wrist. I'll say it one last time, let go. Upon hearing this, Eva immediately turned to Michael and explained, leave this matter to me. Mikhail, upon hearing her words, looked at her quietly for a while, and then a smile appeared on his face once again. All right, I'll wait for you. After saying that, Michael let go. He only loosened his grip a little, and Adrian immediately walked away with his entourage. Once they had all left, Michael's assistant entered the room and handed him a handkerchief. "Mr. Cooper, are you okay?" Michael took the handkerchief and wiped the corner of his lips expressionlessly, his eyes revealing coldness and resentment. He had clearly been injured by Adrian's attack. But he acted as if he couldn't feel any pain, wiping it off heavily, as if he were a numb corpse. His assistant's gaze changed slightly as they watched him in this state. "Here it goes again. Mr. Cooper's appearance." The assistant didn't dare to speak and could only quietly stand by his side. After a while, Michael tossed the handkerchief into the nearby trash can and asked coldly, "Is everything you prepared ready?" The assistant nodded. "Mr. Cooper, rest assured, it won't be delayed." After Adrian took Eva away, it felt as if a gust of wind had blown through. Before she could react, Adrian had already taken her into the car, and the car sped off quickly. When they arrived home, she was still shaken. However, Adrian didn't give her any time to recover. He grabbed her hand and led her towards the bed, and when Eva resisted, he held her wrists and pinned them down on both sides, staring at her with a grimace on his face. "You think you can divorce me and live with Michael? Don't even think about it." As he spoke, his burning breath engulfed her. Just as his lips were about to touch hers, Eva quickly turned her head, but Adrian's soft yet icy lips landed on her cheek. Adrian paused for 2 seconds, then leaned his head in the direction of her cheek once again. Coming to find her lips, Eva had no choice but to dodge while scolding him, "Adrian, what exactly are you doing? Don't touch me." As a result, she dodged to one side, but Adrian sought after her again from that side. With their entangled bodies, their temperatures rose. Eva gasped lightly, "You said you wanted to talk things through with me, didn't you?" Upon hearing this, Adrian glanced at her and mocked, "Aren't I having a deep conversation with you right now?" While speaking, Adrian's hand reached around and held her chin, keeping her face in place. His dark gaze locked onto her red lips, and then he lowered his head and firmly seized them. Eva winced in pain and pushed him away with her other free hand. Unfortunately, all her efforts were futile in front of Adrian, who was stimulated and angry. Her strength was simply not enough. Adrian exerted force on her jaw, and their intense kiss became uncontrollable, making it almost impossible for Eva to catch her breath. It was unclear how long it lasted, but perhaps out of fear that she would suffocate, Adrian finally gave her a moment to breathe. And during this time, Eva took deep breaths. Then, before Adrian could overpower her again, she raised her hand and slapped him. "I really hate it when you act like this, do you know that?" Adrian's face was knocked to the side. "Just who do you think you are? Do you think you can kiss and touch me as you please? On what grounds? We're only in a fake marriage, after all." Chapter 152. "Weren't you planning on divorce?" The enchanting atmosphere in the air vanished without a trace. Adrian took a while to turn his head and face her squarely. After a moment, something crossed his mind, and a hint of seduction appeared in his dark eyes. Once again, he held her chin with one hand, lightly pressing his fingertip against the corner of her swollen lips from the kiss, and tugged his own lips, saying, "The marriage might be fake, but was I faking it when I had you?" Eva could hardly believe what she was hearing. "What did you say? Isn't that right?" Adrian's fingertip moved downward along her beautiful neckline, eventually resting on her lovely collarbone. His throat tightened, and he uttered a provocative remark in a low voice. "When you begged me to have you, you didn't look like this." Eva's pupils slightly contracted. After a moment, she raised her hand and slapped him again. Adrian's handsome face took another hit, and a few seconds later, he coldly sneered, "Keep hitting me all you want, Eva. Do you think I won't lay a finger on you?" As he spoke, Eva slapped him across the face once more. Adrian's entire face turned dark. But as he looked at Eva, red-eyed and angry beneath him, he truly couldn't bring himself to harm her. Thinking of something, Adrian tugged at his lips and said, "It's all right. The harder you hit me now, the more I'll make you pay back twice as much later." Knowing that he was spouting nonsense again, Eva wanted to give him another slap. Unfortunately, this time her hand was grabbed by Adrian. "You're quite something, aren't you? You have no hesitation hitting me, but you protect Michael at the slightest touch from me, huh?" Eva struggled a bit but couldn't free herself. She realized that if Adrian wanted to restrain her when he was angry, she wouldn't be able to escape. Adrian had no way to respond. Eventually, he gave up and stared at the Adrian in front of him, speaking slowly, "Do you know how much I truly dislike you for being like this?" Upon hearing this, Adrian's face stiffened slightly, then he smirked and lifted his lips mockingly. "So, who do you like? Is it Michael?" "Yes." Her firm voice silenced Adrian, and the mocking expression disappeared from his lips. A few seconds later, Adrian questioned her with an ashen face, "Say it again." After uttering those words, even Eva herself fell silent for several seconds. She never expected that she would admit it like this. But they were already going to get a divorce, so instead of dragging it out, it was better to resolve it quickly. With this in mind, Eva closed her eyes and said, "I like him, I want to be with him, so, let's get a divorce." Her chin was gripped tightly, and Eva heard Adrian's cold voice, "Open your eyes and look at me while you say it." Following his words, Eva opened her eyes and met Adrian's deep black eyes, enunciating each word, "I like him, I want to. That's enough." Before she could finish, Adrian suddenly seemed to be stimulated by something, releasing her chin and abruptly standing up from the bed. He stood by the bedside, his previous emotions and desires gone, replaced only by endless coldness and darkness. Caught in this gaze, Eva felt as if she had fallen into an icy cave. Finally, she heard him say, "You want a divorce, right? I'll grant your wish." In that moment, Eva felt as if she heard her heart hitting the ground. She lay motionless, not looking at Adrian, only catching a glimpse of him leaving with the corner of her eye. Then, the door slammed shut. The room, previously filled with intense atmosphere, suddenly fell silent. The air seemed to still carry the cold breath of a man. Eva closed her eyes. "It's fine this way. Just like this." Half an hour later, Michael called her. On the other end of the phone, Michael's tone was full of apology. "Sorry, I meant to help you, but it seems like I messed up. Are you okay?" Originally, it was him who got punched, and he might even end up conflicting with his brother because of this, yet he was now apologizing to her. Eva felt incredibly guilty. "It's not your fault." She said firmly, "If anyone should apologize, it's me for causing you to get hit." Upon hearing this, Michael chuckled softly. "What's the big deal? It's normal for a man to take a few hits. But what about you and him in the future? Don't worry, we were brothers after all. At most, he won't talk to me for a while, but even if he doesn't, I will go and apologize to him." Hearing this, Eva finally felt relieved. "That's good then. So, is everything resolved smoothly?" Eva nodded, then remembered she was on the phone and that Michael couldn't see her, so she switched back to conversation mode. "Yes, temporarily resolved. How are you feeling?" Eva was overwhelmed with frustration, and apologizing earlier had already pushed her to her limit. Eva could have hung up the phone earlier if it weren't for Michael's help. But now, she tried her best to maintain a calm tone and said, "Michael, I want some time alone, okay?" Michael on the other end of the phone fell silent for a while before saying, "All right, take your time and let me know if there's anything you need to talk about." After hanging up, Eva threw her phone to the side and curled up on the bed. Her emotions made her stomach uncomfortable, and Eva gently rubbed her belly, whispering to herself, baby, be good. Once we're divorced, we'll leave this troublesome place and start a life together, just the two of us. Soon after, Eva fell into a deep sleep. She woke up in a daze after a while, finding herself still in the same sleeping position. When she tried to get up, Eva realized that her pillow was wet. She stared at the tear stains on the pillow, feeling confused for a moment, and then gently touched her own tear-stained eyes. They were damp. Had she been crying in her dream? After sitting for a while, Eva got up to change the wet pillowcase and searched for a new one in the cabinet. Once she finished, she sat back on the bed, lost in her thoughts. Unable to sleep, she realized that her heart felt empty and she was in great discomfort, but there was nothing she could do about it. Lost in her thoughts, she heard footsteps outside the door. As soon as she heard the footsteps, Eva immediately tensed up and wiped the corners of her eyes, relieved to find no tears. As she got off the bed, she saw Adrian, with a cold expression, walking in. He looked at her with cold eyes and a face devoid of warmth, not even his tone had any temperature when he spoke. "Do you have time?" Upon hearing that, Eva paused for a moment, then nodded. "Yes." Adrian remained silent for a moment, then asked, "Is the household register with you?" Eva nodded again. "And the divorce certificate?" Eva hesitated for a moment, then said, "It's also here." As if confirming something, after hearing her admission, Adrian finally curved his lips into a mocking smile. "All right, you're well prepared. Seems like you can't wait to get it over with." After saying that, he turned around and walked out. Eva stood still, feeling confused. What did he mean? "Aren't we getting a divorce? Come with me, we're going to the Civil Affairs Bureau." Chapter 153. Why still fantasizing? Both of them remained silent during the drive to the Civil Affairs Bureau. The temperature inside the car was low, and Adrian forgot to turn on the air conditioning, probably because he was angry. Eva had rushed out without much thought, only wearing a coat. At first, she didn't feel anything sitting there, but as time went on, Eva started to feel colder. She instinctively shrugged her shoulders and tightened her coat. Adrian, sitting in the driver's seat, seemed lost in his own thoughts, with his lips pressed into a straight line. He noticed her tightening her coat with the corner of his eye but didn't say anything. With a frozen expression on his face, he turned on the air conditioning. In no time, the temperature inside the car rose up. Eva couldn't help but turn her head to look at Adrian. His lean profile was as delicately crafted as if by a painter, and his three-dimensional features were stunning even from the side. The only flaw was that his face was constantly tense. Knowing him for so many years, Eva could tell that Adrian was angry, very angry. But despite being so angry, he still noticed and turned on the air conditioning because of her small action. Eva withdrew her gaze and lowered her eyes. Suddenly, she felt that the car was really stuffy, as if she could barely breathe. When they arrived at the Civil Affairs Bureau, they still had to wait in line, just like last time. While waiting for their number to be called, Eva whispered to Adrian, "After we go back, I'll talk to my parents, okay?" Upon hearing this, Adrian glanced at her coldly and replied with only two words. "No need, Eva." It seemed like there was no need to communicate anymore. The two of them stood silently in line. Suddenly, a familiar couple greeted Eva. She quickly recognized them as the couple she met at the Civil Affairs Bureau last time. Last time she saw them, they were happy, clinging to each other like conjoined twins, always wanting to be together. But this time, they seemed distant, looking at each other with disdain. "What's going on with you guys?" Eva felt surprised, although her mood was already low. It hadn't been that long since they last met, and they had just gotten married. Could they be getting a divorce now? However, the words spoken by the girl shocked Eva. "We're here for a divorce. Eva was taken aback. Before she could react, the girl wrapped her arms around herself, glared fiercely at the boy, and began to complain to Eva, "Do you know how disgusting this scumbag is? I just got married to him a few days ago, and I found out he has another woman outside. Eva. I can't believe how sweet he was to me before we got married, it was all a lie. Tell me, how can there be three people in a relationship? Yes, how can there be three people in a relationship?" Eva agreed with this statement, but her mood wasn't high, so she didn't respond. The girl, as if finding a vent, continued to vent to Eva, "Why are all men in the world so despicable? If he can't let go of the other woman, why did he come to provoke me? Why didn't he just marry that woman? He insisted on marrying me, and then he kept entangling with that woman. Does he really think I can't live without him?" After speaking, the girl remembered something and asked Eva, "If I remember correctly, you came here for a divorce last time, right? But it seems like you had something and left before finalizing it. Are you here for a divorce again this time?" Eva nodded. "Yes. What's wrong with your husband?" Due to the imminent divorce, the girl had a great deal of animosity towards men at the moment. Without waiting for Eva to answer, she started to rant on her own, "Could he be the same as my husband, fooling around outside? Is there a woman here?" Unfortunately, she guessed right. Eva didn't know what her mindset was, but when she heard this girl insulting Adrian, she actually felt quite satisfied. But then she thought about it again. He was different from other men. He had already told her in advance that it was a fake marriage, and it was her secretly liking him. She couldn't blame him for being too excellent, could she? It was impossible for her to let her scold him, so she could only listen to others scold him. Men are despicable. Why did you bring home a woman you don't like? Now you can only come for a divorce. It's really laughable. The girl treated Adrian as her target of hostility and mocked and insulted him relentlessly. At first, Adrian remained expressionless and ignored her. But the girl's mouth was too incessant, which made him slightly displeased, and he furrowed his brows, glaring at her with a sharp and cold gaze. The girl was scared by his icy stare, immediately silenced, and even unconsciously swallowed her saliva. "What's going on? Not only does this man have a strong presence, but his gaze is also so fierce." In that instant, it seemed like he wanted to kill her. Eva also saw Adrian's glance. Well, she was right there watching, and she also found it quite intimidating. She just remembered that Adrian's emotions were unstable today. What if he gets angry and does something irreparable? Thinking of this, Eva couldn't just stand by and watch anymore, and discreetly moved two steps closer to Adrian. However, the girl was probably scared by Adrian, and she didn't dare to say anything more afterwards, not even scolding her soon-to-be ex-husband. As long as she remained silent, Adrian still maintained his cold and aloof demeanor, as if everyone owed him money. The people in line ahead of them continued with their proceedings, and soon it was their turn. The staff looked at Adrian's sour face, then glanced at Eva's gloomy mood, and accurately asked, "Divorce?" Adrian stood there, not even shifting his gaze. On the other hand, Eva reluctantly put on a smile and handed over the documents, nodding, "Yes, divorce." Throughout the entire process, Adrian cooperated, doing exactly as the staff instructed without any complaints, even quite efficiently. Until the last procedure, the staff looked at them and perhaps couldn't bear to see such an attractive couple separating like this, so they couldn't help but speak, "Are you sure you want to divorce? Once the stamp is sealed, there's no turning back, and you'll be strangers to each other." The mention of being strangers left both of them speechless for a moment. Seeing their reaction, the staff continued persuading, "In a marriage, there will always be some unpleasant moments when you're together, but you should always think about the good times. After all, if you didn't like each other at first, you wouldn't have ended up together, right? After speaking, the staff smiled faintly. How about this, you both go back and think about it some more. Adrian frowned, lips pressed tightly together. He didn't say anything, as if waiting for something. Thank you for your advice, we have carefully considered it, please go ahead and help us with it. The light in the man's eyes instantly went out. It was all like this, what on earth was he still fantasizing about? Chapter 154. Getting your emotions under control. Probably not expecting such an answer. The staff looked at Eva, then at Adrian, then carefully asked him, what about what this gentleman means? When she asked just now, she clearly saw the expectation in the man's eyes. However, the man did not even raise his eyelids this time, his voice cold and clear. Do as she says. Finished, it seems that this pair should not be able to persuade. She did not say anything else, silent to the two of them for divorce procedures. After being stamped, the two divorce papers were pushed in front of them. Eva and Adrian stood there, both staring blankly at the divorce certificates for a long time, before each took their own. Then, they left the Civil Affairs Bureau. As soon as she left, Eva felt the cold winter wind coming on her face, blowing her long hair up, scraping her face like a knife in pain. The divorce certificate was cupped in her hand, and then she raised her other hand to Adrian, her voice calm. Thank you for taking care of me all these years. You're free. Adrian didn't shake her hand, didn't even look at her, just dropped that one sentence and left. Eva was left standing alone. The wind seemed to become extra noisy. Eva's soft hair was blown wildly by the cold wind, and even some of it slapped on her face, carrying moisture and coolness. Without realizing it, Eva was already in tears. The tears were like an open faucet, flowing down uncontrollably. She had prepared herself mentally these days, originally thinking that she didn't care anymore, but when it really came to this time, Eva's heart still felt as if a hole had been ripped out of it. This feeling made her a little breathless. Civil Affairs Bureau people come and go, there are happy to get married, there is also a face to divorce, like Eva's, such as crying into tears is also very common. It's not uncommon for couples to become disgruntled, but even if they are divorced, they will always weep when they think of all the good things that have happened in the past. So it's not strange to see someone like her standing in front of the bureau crying. It's just that she is too good-looking, wearing a white coat, long hair over her shoulders, skin color like snow. When she cries, her eyes and cheeks are red, it looks like her whole person is delicate but fragile. That's why people passing by couldn't help but look a few more times towards her. Emily called her over. Eva was crying up and down on the phone. Well. Divorced, just divorced. Stay there, I'll come over right away, Emily said after hanging up the phone. Emily rushed off to ask her boss for leave. However, Eva, who remained standing in place, didn't follow Emily's advice to find a warm spot. At this moment, her feet felt as heavy as lead. It wasn't that she didn't want to walk, but she simply couldn't move her feet at all. Eva stood there, feeling that she could only start moving when Emily arrived. She didn't know how long she had been standing when suddenly a figure approached her. Hearing the sound, Eva looked up through her teary eyes to see who it was. In her blurred vision, she saw a slender and thin figure, but unfortunately, she couldn't make out who it was. However, after confirming it wasn't Emily, she lowered her gaze again. A few seconds later, a large and warm coat was suddenly draped over her, accompanied by a sigh. Crying like this, do you like him that much? This voice. It was Michael's. Eva raised her head again, tears blurred her vision, and sobbed, I thought you were a stranger. Michael chuckled softly. A stranger wouldn't be so kind as to lend you their coat. After saying that, Michael took out a handkerchief from his pocket and gently wiped away her tears. Once the tears were wiped away, her vision became clear again. Eva saw Michael's face filled with deep concern and noticed the bruises and cuts on his lips and chin, evidence of Adrian's attack. Not long after, her vision became blurry once again. The tears she had just wiped away started flowing once more. Eva felt extremely embarrassed with Michael in front of her, unlike when she was alone. Crying while apologizing to Michael, Eva said, "I'm sorry, I can't seem to control myself for now." A strange look flashed in Michael's eyes as he continued to gently and silently wipe away her tears. Unfortunately, her tears wouldn't stop. Soon, the handkerchief Michael had brought was soaked through. "It's too cold outside. Want to go to my car?" Michael couldn't help but ask. Eva continued silently shedding tears, not answering his question. Seeing her like this, Michael originally wanted to embrace her but was afraid she might be startled. In the end, he chose to hold her shoulders through their clothes and said, "Let's go." With his support, Eva finally took a step forward. However, after only one step, her foot started hurting. It must have been due to standing for too long, causing her foot to go numb. She almost fell, but luckily Michael reacted quickly and caught her. "What's wrong?" Michael asked with concern. After asking, and seeing Eva still crying, he preemptively said, "Forget it, don't say anything. I'll take you up. But since your foot is numb, I might have to offend you a little." After speaking, Michael lifted her up horizontally in his arms. A few minutes later, they finally managed to make their way into the car. After settling down and finding a comfortable position, Eva finally let her tears flow freely. Eva felt her feet were no longer so uncomfortable. "It's probably because you stood in the cold wind for too long that your feet went numb." "Maybe so, standing for too long and the cold both have an effect." Eva didn't reply. The heating in the car was sufficient, and the temperature was high. She felt much better after getting in. But she still had some difficulty controlling her emotions. Seeing her like this, Michael could only speak softly, "Don't cry. Even if you're sad, you should control your emotions, don't forget that you're pregnant now." Eva, who had been sobbing, stopped immediately upon hearing Michael's words. Yes, she was pregnant now and couldn't be as willful as before. If she continued to cry when she was sad, the baby in her belly would definitely feel uncomfortable. Thinking of this, Eva quickly wiped away her tears and leaned back in her seat to calm herself down. But she still couldn't control her tears completely, so eventually Eva had to close her eyes and rest. Finally, when her emotions settled, she fell asleep. Listening to her steady breathing, Michael stared at her pale cheeks, once again wiping away the glistening tears at the corners of her eyes, and whispered with a hoarse voice, "If only you could spare some attention for me." Chapter 155. Asleep or avoiding me? The car stopped by the side of the road near the Civil Affairs Bureau. Michael silently watched her for a while. Just when he was about to drive away, Eva's phone in her arm suddenly rang. But Eva, who was deeply asleep, didn't hear the sound at all. Michael had to pick up the phone and answer the call. "Eva, I've already arrived at the entrance of the Civil Affairs Bureau, but I don't see you. Where are you?" A clear and gentle female voice came from the other end of the phone. Upon hearing the voice, Michael looked towards the entrance of the Civil Affairs Bureau. Sure enough, he saw a girl wearing a black down jacket and carrying a small shoulder bag standing at the entrance of the Civil Affairs Bureau, looking around for Eva's figure. Michael remembered her. She was Eva's best friend, Emily. After recognizing each other, Michael lowered his voice and said, "Hello, I'm Michael." The girl who had been looking around at the entrance of the Civil Affairs Bureau heard his words and immediately stopped all her movements, asking cautiously, "Michael? Who? Where's Eva?" Michael was speechless for a moment. Did he even forget himself? "Don't you remember me? I'm the one who used to hang out with Eva when we were kids." Upon hearing this, Emily thought about it seriously for a moment before finally remembering. Oh, it's you. Is Eva with you now? Yeah, she got tired from crying and fell asleep in the car. In the car? Emily hesitated for a moment, then started to look around and finally turned her gaze towards him. Michael lowered the car window slightly to signal to Emily. I see, is that your car? Emily asked on the phone. Yeah. After confirming that Michael's car, Emily immediately ran over, holding her phone. Michael thought for a moment, then opened the door and got out, meeting Emily outside. When Emily ran over, she first leaned against the window and watched Eva, who had her eyes closed for a while. After a long time of observation, she suddenly turned her head and asked, "Is she asleep or does she not want to see me?" This question made Michael pause, and then he smiled helplessly and said, "What do you think?" Of course, there was no way Eva wouldn't want to see her. She must be asleep. After confirming that Eva was sleeping peacefully, Emily breathed a sigh of relief. Then she started to size up this man named Michael in front of her. When he suddenly mentioned his name earlier, Emily felt somewhat familiar with it, but couldn't remember who he was or where she had seen him. Now that she saw this man with her own eyes, Emily suddenly realized that he was Adrian's brother. He was quite handsome, but he had gone abroad later on. Because it had been a long time, she had forgotten about him. Now that she saw him, she finally made a deep impression and couldn't help but feel speechless. How did she manage to forget someone who was so excellent and gentle like Jade? Hello. While contemplating, Michael had already nodded at her in greeting. Emily finally came back to her senses and greeted him back, saying, "Sorry about Eva bothering you. But how did you end up here?" Emily was always curious. Just after Eva's divorce, another man appeared so quickly. Michael smiled slightly and gave a vague answer, "Just happened to pass by and saw her." Emily. Happened to pass by? She couldn't say anything more, especially since Eva was currently sleeping in his car. Emily was hesitating whether she should wake her up or not. Although Eva knew Michael, Emily wasn't familiar with him. Leaving her to sleep in a man's car didn't seem quite right. However, the way Eva was struggling to speak between tears during their phone call earlier left Emily conflicted. She had finally fallen asleep, but if she woke her up, would she start crying again? Lost in her thoughts, Emily was stuck in this dilemma. Just then, she heard Michael say, "Get in the car." Hearing that, Emily froze and then turned to look at him. Michael smiled slightly, "Where are you going?" "I'll give you a ride and let her sleep for a while." Upon hearing this, Emily understood everything. "Thank you." She quickly put away her phone and climbed into the car. Since Eva was sleeping in the passenger seat, Emily could only watch her from the back seat. After Michael got into the car, they quickly disappeared from the entrance of the Civil Affairs Bureau. After driving a certain distance steadily, and making sure Eva wouldn't wake up so soon, Michael asked softly, "Where are you heading?" Emily in the back seat immediately replied, "Bring her to my house." At this point, they could only go to her house. After all, she had divorced Adrian, so they couldn't just send her home, right? Soon, Emily gave Michael an address, and he responded with an okay and adjusted the route. Emily watched Michael drive attentively and glanced at Eva, who was still sleeping, and pursed her lips, wanting to say something but eventually held back. It's better to wait until Eva wakes up and ask her later. The distance wasn't far, and the car quickly arrived at Emily's house. When they got off the car, Emily noticed that Eva was still sleeping and couldn't help but sigh. This sad person seems to be really immersed in sleep. Emily originally planned to wake her up but was stopped by Michael. "Don't wake her up. If she wants to sleep, let her sleep a little longer." Emily could only give up. Afterward, the two got out of the car, and Michael carried Eva horizontally. Emily followed behind, closing and locking the car door, and then they went upstairs together. Emily walked quickly in front, taking the elevator and unlocking the door with her keys. Finally, she watched as Michael carried Eva into the house. Originally, she intended to close the door, but after some thought, she left it open, took off her shoes, and walked in. New York is developing rapidly, but Emily's place is still in the old city area. Although the debt at home had been repaid with Eva's help, and afterward, she only needed to earn money to live while working, Emily still lived cautiously, as if walking on thin ice, renting cheap houses whenever possible. The money saved each month accumulated into a considerable fortune over the years. But she only lived like this when she was alone. It wasn't really suitable to let Eva stay in such an environment. Although the Hansen family had gone bankrupt, Eva still came from a privileged background. When Michael placed Eva on Emily's unattractive small bed, Emily made a silent determination in her heart. Well, even if it's just to repay Eva, she must find a nice and spacious house immediately. After placing her on the bed, Michael politely avoided staring around and quickly left the room. Considering that a man like him could make Emily feel uncomfortable staying in the house, Michael said his goodbyes quickly. After seeing him off, Emily closed the door and sighed, "This man seems quite nice." Chapter 156. Thinking about things she shouldn't. As dusk fell, Eva slowly woke up. She had slept for a long time. As she looked around the dim but somewhat familiar environment after waking up, she quietly observed for a while. When she realized where she was, a warm feeling spread in her chest. It was Emily's home. Lost in her thoughts, she heard a noise outside. Emily pushed open the door and walked into the room. Seeing the stillness inside, she murmured to herself. Eva's face changed upon hearing Emily's voice and she immediately rushed over. "Emily," she called out. Upon hearing her name, Emily's face lit up and she ran towards her. "You're finally awake," she said. As they spoke, Emily quickly turned on the bedside lamp. Previously, they were only able to see the furnishings in the room with the natural light from outside, so the sudden brightness from the lamp made Eva squint uncomfortably for a moment. After adjusting for a while, she regained her composure. That's good. Are you hungry? I made noodles. Eva felt a slight emptiness in her stomach, although she didn't have much of an appetite at the moment. However, she knew that the little one inside her must be hungry. So she nodded and said, "I'm hungry. Then let's get up and eat something." After speaking, Emily reached out to help Eva sit up. As Eva tried to get up, she suddenly felt a sharp, dull pain in her chest. Ah! The sudden pain made Eva involuntarily make a sound. She quickly covered her chest with her hand, her face turning pale from the pain. "What's wrong?" Emily was startled by her appearance and anxiously asked. Eva couldn't get up due to the pain, so Emily had to help her lie back down. "What happened? What's wrong? Should I call for an ambulance?" As she spoke, Emily anxiously reached for her phone to call for help. However, Eva stopped her as soon as she took out her phone. "No, no need to call. It's just that my chest suddenly felt uncomfortable." After speaking, Eva remained stunned in place. Why did the scene feel so familiar? It was as if she had experienced something similar not too long ago. Suddenly, she remembered that Adrian had a similar situation in the car. A sudden pain and cold sweat made him look unwell, and she was scared next to him, but then he suddenly got better. Could it be that he was experiencing the same thing as her? "How are you feeling?" Emily's voice brought Eva back to her senses. After enduring the pain for some time, Eva finally felt better. Much better. Although Eva was no longer uncomfortable, her voice had changed, and she had sweated quite a bit on her forehead. Emily, who was looking at her, felt very distressed and used her sleeve to wipe her sweat, her eyes slightly red. "I'm glad you're okay. You scared me earlier with that sudden chest pain. It's not something to joke about, you know.
I know, Eva nodded.
I've read the instructions, and the pain is so severe. If it lasts for a long time, I should go to the hospital, but I seem to be fine now, right?
What do you mean by being fine?
Pain is a symptom, otherwise, why would it hurt?
You must have been not resting well recently or have too many worries.
No, I need to accompany you to the hospital for a thorough checkup in a few days to put my mind at ease.
All right, all right.
Faced with her nagging, Eva could only agree. Last time she didn't ask Adrian to get a checkup, which wasn't good indeed. I wonder if he has had any pain since then. At this thought, Eva's facial expression suddenly became strange, and she bit her lip. They were divorced already and supposed to be strangers with no connections. Why was she still thinking about him at this moment? When she saw him at the Civil Affairs Bureau today, he didn't even want to shake her hand or spare her an extra glance. Why was she still concerned about him?
It's time to wake up, Eva. You and him were never meant to be.
Eva, what are you thinking about? Emily asked curiously when she noticed Eva's wandering gaze. Eva snapped out of her thoughts and a faint but extremely bitter smile appeared on her lips.
I'm thinking about something I shouldn't be.
There was nothing they couldn't talk about between her and Emily. Hearing her words, Emily immediately understood what she was thinking.
If you know you shouldn't be thinking about it, then stop.
Emily's voice sounded depressed. After all, you two are divorced now, so you'd better think about how to move on.
Eva lowered her gaze.
You're right. Seeing her like this, Emily couldn't help but reach out and touch her head.
No matter what, you still have me, and now you're not alone.
You have the baby, and the baby will give you strength.
Yeah, I still have the baby.
If it weren't for the baby, Eva didn't think she would have the courage.
Organizing her emotions, Eva raised her head again and smiled at Emily.
Tomorrow, accompany me to pack my things at the Blackwood family. Some of my belongings are still there.
Okay.
Emily nodded.
Are you not going tonight?
Not tonight, tomorrow.
After packing, I want to visit my grandmother at the hospital.
Grandma probably didn't know about this situation yet, and Eva didn't know if she would be able to accept it when she found out, but Eva still had to go see her.
After all, it's likely to be the last time they'll ever meet in this lifetime.
After she leaves, she probably won't come back.
Then you can rest at my place tonight.
The conditions here may not be the best, but luckily the people upstairs and downstairs are not noisy, and they won't make any disturbances.
You can have a good rest.
Okay.
Eva nodded gently.
Thank you.
By the way, what about that Michael?
Bringing up this topic, Eva suddenly remembered that it was him who picked her up at the Civil Affairs Bureau and later on, she didn't know anything after she fell asleep.
When she woke up, she was already at Emily's house.
He probably dropped them off there as well.
Come over here.
Sure enough, Emily briefly explained the situation.
After she finished speaking, she gossipingly looked at Eva, but afraid of hurting her, she didn't dare to ask too much.
Seeing her expression, Eva could only helplessly say, "There's nothing between him and me. He helped me purely because he wanted to bring two lovers together, understand?"
Chapter 157.
The Irrelevant Person.
Lovers.
Emily's brain short-circuited at the moment and she instinctively asked, "Who?"
Eva remained silent for a while before saying, "Adrian and Vivian."
After a moment, Emily said, "Seriously, right now I just want to strangle myself."
Eva smiled, knowing why she said that, then raised her eyes and said, "All right, I'm fine."
He was right. They are indeed a couple.
Nonsense.
They're just two lovers.
Emily gritted her teeth and said, if it weren't for Vivian saving him, Adrian wouldn't have paid any attention to her, right? It's just because of taking advantage of a benefactor. Hearing this, Eva's gaze dimmed, and she lowered her eyes and said, "All right, let's not talk about this anymore. It's okay. It's my fault." Emily stuck out her tongue. "You rest well. I'll go heat up the noodles. You can have them later."
"Okay." After Emily left, the room returned to tranquility. Eva gently wiped away the coldness from the corner of her eyes. This was the last time. From now on, she wouldn't shed another tear for Adrian. That night, Eva didn't go home. Margaret waited and waited, feeling somewhat puzzled, so she went to ask Adrian. After Adrian came home, he locked himself in the study. When Margaret pushed the door open, he was sitting at the desk, looking at something. "Why isn't Eva here?" she asked. Hearing Eva's name at this moment, Adrian felt like something was tearing inside his chest. He pursed his lips and didn't answer. Margaret, who had already known that their relationship was not right, could tell from his expression that something had happened. She pursed her lips and asked, "What happened? Did things worsen between you two?" Adrian didn't answer her question, only saying, "I'm busy."
"Busy with what?" Margaret pointed at the notebook in front of him and coldly remarked, "Busy staring at your black screen. Since he came back, he hasn't opened his notebook." Adrian frowned and remained silent. "What's going on between you two? Weren't your relationship not this bad before? Now she doesn't even come back. Did you have a fight?" As if unable to bear it any longer, Adrian walked outside with a serious expression on his face.
"Hold on." Margaret called out to him, but Adrian walked as if he hadn't heard her, ignoring her presence. Margaret was infuriated by his attitude, so she stepped forward and stopped him.
"I'm asking you, where is Eva?" As if finally unable to tolerate it. Adrian frowned and said, "Why would my mother want to find her and not call her directly? Why ask me? Am I her guardian? Do I have to report her whereabouts?"
Margaret looked at him incredulously and replied, "What are you talking about? If I could reach her on the phone, why would I bother looking for you?"
Upon hearing that, Adrian smirked sarcastically and said, "Can't reach her? Then don't bother trying. You.
Margaret couldn't stand his impatient and indifferent attitude. She was infuriated.
"Is this how you talk to your mother? Where is your manners? Is your way of handling emotions to take it out on your mother?"
After finishing her words, Margaret noticed Adrian's unchanged expression, which made her lose any desire to communicate with him further. She said, "Fine, if I can't reach Eva on the phone and you won't tell me anything, you better not regret it if something happens to her."
Margaret turned around and walked away, leaving Adrian alone in place. As Margaret left, the study fell silent. Adrian stood there for a while before returning to his original position. Despite sitting still with a gloomy face, his mind was filled with Margaret's last words before she left. "You better not regret it if something happens to her." A voice seemed to be telling him that he would regret it if something happened to her, urging him to get up and go find her. But then, Adrian found it ridiculous. Something happened? Wasn't she planning to be with Michael? He had been keeping her in captivity for so long, and recently she had been urging him for a divorce so that she could be with Michael. Now that she was free, she must have already thrown herself into Michael's arms. Not answering the phone might just mean she was too busy being with him. What could possibly go wrong? Although they were divorced now and had become unrelated individuals, whenever Adrian thought about the possibility of her being with Michael at this time, a grown man and woman together late at night, he could imagine what might happen. Adrian's mind involuntarily conjured up certain scenes. Damn it! Just the thought alone made Adrian unable to contain his anger. He swept everything off the desk with his hand, causing a few heavy objects to hit the ground, and even the sound of broken glass. The objects fell crashing in the room. Destruction did not alleviate Adrian's restless mood, in fact, it intensified it. His chest felt like a burning mass of fire, making it hard for him to contain himself. Adrian tightly clenched his fists and slammed them on the table. Ring, ring, ring. At that moment, a melodious ringtone emanated from his cell phone. Adrian paused for a moment, then took out his phone. Glancing at the screen, it was a call from Vivian. The light in his eyes instantly vanished, and he threw the phone onto the table, ignoring the call. The phone continued to ring for a while, then paused briefly before ringing again, but Adrian never bothered to answer. After a while, a sneer formed on his lips. At a time like this, he actually thought she would call him. They were already divorced, so what could she possibly have to say on the phone? He was truly delusional. That night, the members of the Blackwood family couldn't find peace of mind. It was the first time in their long marriage that Adrian didn't come home. And when Adrian returned, he locked himself in his study, not even coming downstairs for lunch or dinner. Every time the servants tried to call for him, they heard objects being thrown and were too frightened to approach. Only the butler had gone in twice, and each time he emerged with a grim face. Curiosity got the better of one of the servants who asked in a hushed voice, "Butler, what happened? Is the master still refusing to eat?" The butler shook his head. "He completely ignored me. I have no idea what's going on between the master and the madam." "That's true. The madam hasn't returned either." "Did the butler manage to reach her on the phone?" "It was turned off." "Turned off? Why doesn't our master go out and look for her, then?" Chapter 158. Disturbing you. In his mind, the butler sighed. With the arguments escalating like this, and Adrian's arrogant and stubborn temper, it would be difficult to convince him to go look for her. One of the servants whispered, "When Vivian came to our house before, I felt something was off between the master and the madam. It seemed to have gotten better later, but not the same as before. Maybe our master and madam are getting a divorce." Hearing the word divorce, the butler's eyelid twitched involuntarily and he scolded, "Nonsense. You can't casually throw those words around. It's normal for couples to have conflicts. Even if the master and the madam fight today, they might reconcile tomorrow. If you have nothing better to do, go clean the windows again." The rest of the people pouted at the butler's words and dispersed. The butler also had a headache and waved his hand, indicating he didn't care anymore and wanted to go rest in his room. Once the butler left, the servants couldn't help but gather and whisper to each other. "To be honest, I feel like our master and madam have already divorced. If they haven't yet, they might in a couple of days. Just wait and see." The argument was so intense. "How long have we been working for the Blackwood family? When have we seen our master lose his temper like this?" "That's true. You didn't hear it just now when I walked to the door. How loud the voices inside were. But it's none of our business. Even if they are fighting, let them fight. Too much. And there's no guarantee that Vivian would be easier to get along with. In my opinion, our current madam is just fine. She never bothers us." "You're right." They had initially taken pleasure in Eva's misfortune and looked down on her as a bankrupt heiress. But after hearing these words of truth, their expressions became gloomy again. "Indeed, why do they look down on Eva? Even if she leaves, there will still be a new lady of the house, and the new one may not necessarily be better than Eva. They may cause trouble for us then. Rather than having these uncertainties, it would be better if Eva remained the lady of the house." The thoughts of the crowd returned to this, sighing and lamenting, hoping that Eva would come back soon and that their current situation would not change. So they waited anxiously all night and the first words they exchanged the next morning were, "Did Madam come back last night?" "No, she didn't come back all night." The crowd sighed immediately. Could it be that Madame will never come back again? Oh my, could it be that our master and Madame are really getting divorced? The people fell into sorrow once again. A night had passed. Despite no noisy neighbors and the tranquility within Adrian, Eva remained sleepless throughout the night. Emily didn't sleep well either and had been with her all night. Early in the morning, Emily got up to prepare breakfast. Eva lay in bed and suddenly sat up, thinking to herself, and decided to call her father. The fact that she and Adrian were divorced was already established, so she should tell him. Eva reached for her phone only to realize that it was out of battery and had shut down. She plugged it into charge. After turning it on, she discovered that her phone had received countless missed calls. Margaret and the family's butler had called her many times, especially Margaret, who had made at least 10 calls. But due to her phone being constantly shut off, Margaret was unable to reach her. In the end, Margaret had to send her a series of inquiring and comforting text messages, which were quite long. Reading them made Eva's heart ache and feel uneasy. After finishing reading, she couldn't help but wonder if Adrian hadn't told Kim and Margaret about their divorce yet. Why was Margaret still saying these things to her? Before she could ponder further, her phone rang unexpectedly. Eva held the phone and saw that the incoming call was from Adrian, causing her heart to skip a beat. Why would he call her at a time like this? Eva hesitated, unsure if she should answer the call. They were already divorced, so there couldn't be anything worse. Taking the call wouldn't be a big deal, right? She took too long to make a decision, and by the time she finally decided to answer the call, it had already ended. So Eva took a deep breath and called back instead. Once the other side picked up, she explained, "Sorry, I was busy just now." Upon hearing her explanation, there was a brief silence on the other end, followed by, with a sneer, Adrian said, "Busy with your Michael? Did I disturb you too?" Eva remained silent. Because there was nothing between her and Michael, Eva's instinct was to refute when he mentioned himself being with Michael. But she realized that she had already admitted it in front of him. So the words that were about to come out got stuck at her lips. Now he must think she and Michael were together, maybe even last night. But it seemed there was nothing left to explain. In the end, Eva could only choose to stay silent. And her silence, as it reached Adrian, became acquiescence. So, last night, she really was with Michael. Adrian's heart turned ashen instantly, his teeth clenched, but he couldn't speak a word. After a moment, he finally heard Eva say, "I still have some things at the Blackwood family. Can I go there today to collect them? And about our divorce, did you talk to Uncle Kim and Aunt Margaret?" At this point, Eva suddenly stopped, realizing that using those titles was inappropriate. So she changed her words, "About our divorce, did you not tell Uncle Kim and Aunt Margaret?" She reverted to using the titles she had used before marrying Adrian. Uncle Kim. Aunt Margaret. Adrian's eyes darkened slightly as he repeated the titles in his mind, then he forced a smile and spoke recklessly, "Eva, this is my family business. What's your relationship with me? Is it your place to interfere?" Hearing his words, Eva's expression changed slightly, and then she lowered her eyes. "Sorry, I crossed a line unintentionally." Yeah, they were already divorced. Uncle Kim, Aunt Margaret, and Granny Blackwood were no longer her family. Marriage is such a strange thing. When they were together, his family was her family. But once they separated, she instantly lost several family members. Hearing her apologize, a twinge of regret flashed through Adrian's heart, but it didn't last long before it was shattered by her next words. "Well then, when would it be convenient for me to go and collect my things?" After all, she had stayed with the Hansen family for so long, and she still had some belongings there that she needed to retrieve. Upon hearing this, Adrian sneered. "Eva, what do you need to clean up? You're already divorced and moving on to your new life. So tell me, does your current companion allow you to bring your old things and stay with him? Another set of words meant to hurt her. Eva bit her lip. Some things are mine. Well, then find time to come and get them yourself. With that, Adrian hung up the phone. Chapter 159. Not returning all night. Eva heard the busy signal echoing in her ears through the phone, feeling like a piercing thorn. Eva couldn't help but bend down and give Granny Blackwood a deep hug, gazing at her tearful eyes. In a low voice, she whispered, "Grandmother, starting from tomorrow, I won't be able to come to see you anymore." She spoke so quietly that only she could hear herself. She only dared to speak these words when Granny Blackwood was asleep. "In the future, please take good care of yourself, Grandmother. Nothing is more important than your health. And surely, there will be a better daughter-in-law to show filial piety to you." After saying that, Eva reached out to wipe away the tears from Granny Blackwood's eyes and planted a gentle kiss on her forehead. She stood in place, lost in thought for a while, before decisively turning around to leave. But as she turned, she saw Adrian standing at the door of the ward. Their eyes met in the air. Time seemed to stand still. After a moment, Eva forced a smile and went up to greet him. "I came to visit Grandmother." She paused and corrected herself, "I came to visit Granny Blackwood." Adrian's gaze was clear, cold, and devoid of warmth. It was as if he hadn't even seen her, disregarding her as he brushed past, leaving behind a trail of icy air. Eva stood still for over 10 seconds, knowing in her heart that she no longer had a place here, and quietly left. After she left, Adrian turned around and glanced at the spot where she had been standing before, then slowly retracted his gaze. Eva went home to fetch her belongings. As soon as she entered the Blackwood family house, the butler and the servants immediately approached her, welcoming her as if they were seeing a dear relative. "Madam, you've finally returned." "Madam, where did you go last night? We missed you." "Madam, welcome home. Are you hungry? Would you like something to eat?" Previously, nobody had treated her with such warmth. For a moment, Eva didn't know what everyone was thinking, but she could only respond calmly. After dealing with them, Eva went upstairs to pack her things. She didn't have much to pack, just a few personal items. As for clothes, Eva didn't plan to pack them, to avoid giving any hint away when she went downstairs. Margaret wasn't at home today, and Adrian wasn't here either. She could quickly leave once she finished packing. The servants were chatting downstairs at this moment. "Our madam came back today. Does it mean she has made up with our master?" "Maybe, you know how couples always argue before making up." However, just as they finished speaking, they saw Eva coming down. She was holding a small bag, seemingly ready to leave. Everyone was puzzled. She had just returned not long ago, and now she was leaving again? They immediately surrounded her, preventing her from leaving. "Madam, you just came back. Where are you off to now?" Seeing them crowding around her, Eva. In that instant, Eva felt grateful in her heart that she hadn't packed too much luggage. Otherwise, they would have bombarded her with questions. So, all she could do was smile and say, "I have something to attend to." "Madam, where are you going? You just got back not long ago. Don't you need to rest?" asked the housekeeper. Eva shook her head. "I'm not tired, no need to rest. You all can go on with your tasks, stop crowding around me." Though everyone had a foreboding feeling about her, Eva didn't have any luggage in her hands, so it didn't seem like she was leaving. In the end, they dispersed. As they left, Eva prepared to depart and encountered the housekeeper at the doorway. "Madam," said the housekeeper. Eva halted her steps. "Uncle housekeeper." During her time at the Blackwood family, the housekeeper had taken good care of her. Her gaze shimmered, wanting to say something. But it seemed like the housekeeper sensed something. He glanced at the small bag she was holding and asked softly, "Are you going on a trip, madam?"
Chapter 160. Does she still not know she's pregnant? Eva was taken aback by the question. As she pondered how to respond to the housekeeper's words, he suddenly continued, "Since last night, Master hasn't eaten anything." Eva remained silent. What use was it to tell her now? "Though I don't know what problems arose between the Master and Madam, you have been together for such a long time. If they can be resolved." Eva softly interrupted, "They can't be resolved." Upon hearing this, the housekeeper couldn't speak any further. Moments later, he whispered, "If Madam has made up her mind, then I can only wish you a safe journey." At first, Eva's expression was somewhat puzzled, but after a brief moment, she smiled with relief.
"Thank you, Uncle Housekeeper. Please take care of yourself. As for Granny Blackwood?"
The housekeeper nodded sincerely and seriously. "I am the Blackwood family's housekeeper. Even if Madam didn't say anything, I would still do my duty."
"Yes, Uncle Housekeeper has always been loyal and responsible. Moreover, he was a very intelligent person. Others couldn't see it, but he could.
Take care, Madam." Eva left the Blackwood family, holding onto the small bag. Before leaving, she stopped and gazed at the place that had been her home for nearly 2 years. Initially, she hadn't expected to stay here for long. She never thought that 2 years would fly by in the blink of an eye. Time flies. Before the fake marriage, she and Adrian were friends, childhood sweethearts, the kind of relationship where they could help each other. Now, their relationship ended in a disastrous divorce, and they had become strangers to each other. However, Eva still felt grateful to Adrian for appearing and helping her when she needed it the most. She would always remember this act of kindness. Eva turned around and left, her slim figure quickly disappearing along the road. The end. The cold wind mercilessly blew the fallen leaves on the ground, spinning them around the streets, only to bring them back to where they started. Julia had been living a miserable life lately. Ever since she was suspected of being an accomplice to Alexander, she had been imprisoned for a period of time. Later, considering that they were first-time offenders and the victim hadn't suffered significant harm, they were released. But after coming out, Julia discovered that her home had faced endless retribution. Her family's small company relied on the Morrison family for survival, taking whatever the Morrison family left behind for the Smith family. In order to get what was left, Julia had often fawned over Vivian in front of her. However, this time, their small company went bankrupt directly, accumulating a huge debt. When she returned home, her mother threw herself into her arms. "Go and beg Vivian to help us, otherwise your father won't be able to hold on, and he will jump off the building. Then our whole family will be truly finished. Yes, your little brother too. The school won't let him attend anymore. Julia, who did our family offend? How did things end up like this?" Julia's heart sank when she heard this, and she knelt weakly on the ground. Who did they offend? The person who could be so ruthless must be Adrian. When she had a fight with Eva before, Adrian had already warned her not to appear in front of him again. But not only did she not listen, she also did something bad to Eva. Now, he was retaliating against her. After realizing this, Julia had no choice but to immediately go and find Vivian, hoping she could help her. However, when she finally went to find Vivian, she was rejected at the door. Vivian didn't even see her, and if she dared to force her way in, someone would throw her out. Julia began living a life worse than death. Her mother, overwhelmed by the pressure, even wanted to swallow sleeping pills to commit suicide, but her little brother discovered it and stopped her in time. In the end, her little brother knelt in front of her. "Sister, I'm begging you.
Who did you offend? Please go and plead for mercy. If things continue like this, our whole family will have to jump in the river. Finally, even their mother got down on her knees, pleading with her. Julia, our family has never mistreated you because you're a girl. Now that our family is in trouble, who did you offend? Quickly go and apologize to make amends. We can't continue like this. Who did she offend? Julia certainly knew who she had offended. Driven to desperation, she finally went to the Blackwood family mansion. Standing outside the gates of the Blackwood family, she looked at the towering building before her and thought about the scene of her own home being in ruins, biting her lower lip. Her phone rang, and Julia took it out to check. It turned out that someone had mentioned her in the WhatsApp's chat group. Vivian, let her go out for a walk in the afternoon, Julia said. Vivian quickly replied to the person and enthusiastically agreed in the group chat. Julia glanced at her chat history with Vivian. Their chat history was filled with Julia sending her various messages, but there was no response from Vivian. No matter how she begged, Vivian remained indifferent. While pondering over it, Julia suddenly saw Vivian's message being retracted. This scene made Julia couldn't help but chuckle coldly. It seems like Vivian forgot that she was still in the group and retracted the message to avoid Julia seeing it. Originally, Julia thought that Vivian's absence might be due to some reason. Perhaps it was because of her injury or because Julia had done something wrong, causing Vivian's family to be angry, and they didn't agree to let her meet with Julia. But she didn't expect that it was Vivian who didn't want to meet her. Thinking of this, Julia suddenly looked at the Blackwood family gate in front of her and had a wicked thought. She dialed Vivian's number directly. As expected, Vivian didn't answer the call. It rang several times, yet Vivian didn't pick up. So, Julia leisurely sent her a text message. Vivian, do you know where I am right now? After saying that, Julia took a photo of the Blackwood family gate with her phone and sent it. Within 5 seconds, Julia's phone started ringing. It was Vivian calling her actively. Julia stood in place, watching the phone ring with a self-satisfied smirk on her lips, quietly observing as the call ended without answering. However, the other party did not give up. Not long after the call ended, they called again. Like teasing a mouse, Julia waited until Vivian called for the fifth time before answering. Just as Julia picked up the phone, Vivian anxiously asked, "Julia, what are you doing at the Blackwood family?" Her anxious tone was full of weight, without a hint of weakness. Julia could no longer make up a sick excuse for her. She smiled slowly and said, "Of course, I came here for a reason." "What's the matter, Vivian? Are you worried now that I'm here? Are you afraid that I might accidentally say something unfavorable to you?" Vivian fell into silence for a moment, then awkwardly laughed and said, "What are you talking about? There's nothing. Adrian probably doesn't know about Eva's pregnancy, right?"